Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
It is a great day to be alive on this Tuesday. Kyle Brusten Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. My name is Ben Brust. Alongside me is Packer-backer-ish Kyle Wallace.
Stop Stop playing. Say it again. Say it the right way. We ain't doing that.
To my left, longtime NFL punter, Super Bowl 50 runner-up is Bradley Northman.
Cut his mic until he does what he's supposed to do. He gonna put respect on
Stroke
my Packers.
Stroke can cut my mic, but he probably agrees with me based off the way that you described how the Packers could only beat the Panthers and the Bears if they were playing anyone else. They'd be done.
Put your money where your mouth is. Pick the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Pick them to go to the NFC Championship.
That's not the exercise. You're moving the goalposts.
Pick them to go to the NFC Championship.
Okay. Any takers?
I'm willing to
have that conversation.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Pick them to go to the NFC Championship.
I did fill out my first version of a bracket last night, and I did pick them to go to the NFC Championship.
What do you mean a bracket?
I love how he's talking about this as if it's the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, nobody fills out a playoff
bracket.
That's
so untrue that you don't even know. You just played in the league and you don't gamble very much.
So you're telling me this is something that...
You did not gamble.
I go ask 10 people, 7 to 8 people say, oh yeah, I filled out a playoff bracket.
I don't know about
that's a good point, Brad.
Okay, it's probably not 7 to 8.
You're the only one in the building.
Oh, that's not true because somebody in the building runs a pool that I'm in.
Okay, two people. There is another guy who I'm sure he does a lot of that, so you got me on that one.
Again, Strofe is doing it, so it's the biggest thing in the entire world.
You picked the Packers to go because you knew other people wouldn't pick it, so that's why you did it. You didn't do it because your heart said it. So that's what he's doing.
He's trying to buy low, sell high.
Exactly, because you don't believe in the Packers.
Okay, don't lash out on everyone else right now. This is my fault. Again,
this is you projecting. When did I ever say I didn't believe in the Packers?
Again,
I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
He's feeling insecure about it.
I think there's a really good shot they can get hot. They'll win in Chicago, they'll win in Seattle, and then they'll lose to whoever. I currently have it picked as the Rams, but which would be a 5-6 NFC Championship game.
That would be fun.
That's the beauty of the parity in the NFL this year, fellas.
Who you got on the other side?
I've got Bills, and I forget who I had on the other side.
Great. Sounds like these brackets are going well.
Yeah. Bills Patriots, I believe.
Oh, another fun one.
So the 2 seed on one side, yeah. But then the 5 and 6 seed on the other.
2-6, 5-6 is what I have right now. Yeah,
2-6, 5-6.
That's 800-990.
The annals of the NFL. How many times would you have a 2-5-6-5?
I mean, never. Zero times, probably. That's what I'm saying, guys. It's the most wonderful time.
Can we cut it?
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. A lot of excited personalities here on Kyle Brusten Northman, Brad Northman.
I would say
we're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison.
I just want to say though. And it's
of course,
a beautiful weekend of football because even not only in the NFL, you overflow that to college football. You got Thursday football, Friday football. You got Ole Miss and Indiana playing in the semifinal.
By the way, we need to give a real quick shout out. UW River Falls.
How about those Falcons? Thrilling. It's a Cinderella story for the ages.
The WEAC is on top again.
I'm already excited for the documentary.
WEAC.
I'm already excited for the docuseries that will be UW River Falls.
Were you locked inside your house with children all day? This is like recess right now, Brad? I've never seen this out of you.
I mean, this is quite
the energy.
That quarterback from River Falls is a stud.
Thank you, Kyle. Did you guys enjoy the Illinois State-Montana State game last night?
Oh, I want to talk about that. Did Montana State win or Illinois State?
Montana State.
God bless.
First time in 41 years.
Isn't their running back Julius Davis?
Everyone knows Julius Davis.
No way he's running. No way he's still in college football.
Bro.
No way.
Yes, these kids are.
Well, while we're on the topic.
Montana State running back.
No way.
Yeah.
He's got to be a quadruple senior.
He's 25 at least.
While we're on the topic, anybody watch the Battle of I-43 last night? UW-Milwaukee, UW-Green Bay hoops?
Green Bay upset.
Green Bay up 14 at half. They blow the lead. Milwaukee takes the lead back in the second half, and then they win.
Doug Gottlieb, coach of the year?
He legitimately might have a chance.
I think everything you guys have talked about for the last 3 minutes may be the most uninteresting thing talk about to anyone listening
now. One last thing, though. Julius Davis started college in 2020. He had 6 seasons of college football.
That is crazy.
6 seasons of college football. Why are we acting as if this is new?
Yeah, that's not abnormal.
This is not new. Now we're acting like things are different when this is literally the world we live in.
He had to carry every single year.
For six years.
He's not even making NIL. Who cares? He's at a D3 school.
You never know.
Oh, Montana State
is. Or FBS school. Or whatever it is.
CS.
That's disrespectful. All right, can I get to where we were supposed to go?
The Pride of Menominee Falls.
Which is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike on Wilde and Tausch as he joins every Tuesday at 9:30. He jumped right in and said this to Packer fans, and you should feel something from this.
From when he was hired till now, I would actually say he exceeded expectations because I couldn't believe they hired him in the first place. So from that moment to today, I would say he exceeded expectations. Once I found out who he was as a coach, now I would say he has not met expectations because I can't believe that they're as bad at times as they are. So I guess you could split in the middle and say met expectations on the whole. But I went from exceeding expectations to now not meeting them relative to the totality of his career. My point is basically what the Packers are is they're a meet expectations team as long as your expectations aren't that they win the Super Bowl. That's what they are.
They're a meet expectations team as long as your expectations are to not win a Super Bowl. That seems like a statement that is an oxymoron for the state of Wisconsin, especially when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. It's literally called Titletown, yet the evidence would tell you they haven't been to a Super Bowl since 2010. They've been to five NFC, Rodgers won in four in NFC championship games.
That's correct.
So they've been to five NFC championship games, one being the one he got in 2010. So they're a meet expectation team, but they don't exceed expectations because the Super Bowl expectations are what we talk about every single year. And so we're sitting in this place right now. I just want to know how it makes people feel because I saw some reaction. It's like, shut up, guy, or holy cow, he nailed it. So this is the dichotomy of Packer fans right now of what are we feeling? Are we all in and we're like believing that this window is open and real and we're going to get to a Super Bowl this year, next year, the year after? Or are we just going to be in the same loop of we're not actually going to go to a Super Bowl? Matt LaFleur is not going to be able to lead us there. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line.
You know, the Green Bay Packers, and a lot like other Wisconsin teams, Brewers, Bucks, and even the Wisconsin Badgers at times, they're pros at being in the mix. They're always in the mix. They're never terrible. Not the Wisconsin Badger football team of late, but almost certainly the pro teams, at least, in recent history, and for the Green Bay Packers spanning decades, always in the mix, but it takes a rare occasion of special magic to have everything aligned together to actually go ahead and have a Super Bowl run. So, I mean, Evan nailed it. He really did. If Wisconsin fans and Packer fans are content with making the playoffs, maybe winning a game or two, then you have nothing to complain about. It really is something to where you're in it every year. Every season is thrilling. Rarely are you find yourself out of the playoffs, but to have an actual team that is equipped to win a Super Bowl, it doesn't come around very often. And when it does, it's usually met with heartbreak. So it falls on Matt LaFleur, it falls on Goody, it now falls on Jordan Love to right that ship because those are the three pillars of your organization that can actually do something about it. The problem is this doesn't seem like the year that can actually happen. Micah down, other injuries, and just generally speaking, to go from 7 seed to Super Bowl is not something that's likely going to happen. So he said it about as good as you possibly could. The way I would phrase it is Wisconsin fans and Green Bay Packer were pros at being in the mix. That's about all we're pros at being.
No, I think the one thing that we need to understand is that Matt LaFleur is an excellent coach, and I agree with the fact that, listen, he has not met the overall expectations that we have of winning a Super Bowl, especially when your quarterback was Aaron Rodgers.
Excellent coach.
He is a very, very good football coach. I don't.
Those are two different things. Excellent versus very, very good. If he's an excellent coach, there's not a debate about re-signing him to extension.
Who said there's a debate about re-signing him to an extension? The guy who was in charge of him let you know that he is satisfied with how this team was able to overcome
injury. I'm going to trust Jason Wilde, who's covered the Packers a lot longer than all of us, who says he didn't really take much from Ed Policy's policies perspective on Packers.com.
Sure.
They could lose four straight games in the regular season and this game from an excellent coach. That's how you feel. This is the mix of emotions.
There's no mix of emotion here. I just go based off the fact. You look at the track record. This coach, 6 of 7 years that he's been the head coach of the Packers, this man has been over 500. He
consistently, is that the goal?
He could, no, the fact that he was able to take this team who had a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers and was able to transfer it over to Jordan Love and have Jordan Love lead this team to the playoffs 3 years in a row, and this season is we cannot act like what happened on the field with injuries has not devastated this team. So at the end of the day,
excuse Kyle's back.
No, there's no excuses. These are just facts. Teams have their seasons derailed because they have crucial injuries. You are telling me
that
Niners
totally did.
No, are the Niners going to win the Super Bowl?
They have a better chance than the Packers.
They do have a better chance than the Packers. They absolutely do. But at the end of the day, this team lost Michael Parsons, who is better than Bosa. I'm telling you this right now. He is better than Bosa, and he was the heart and soul of this defense. And we see it right now. When he went out, the defensive line fell apart, and then you lost Devontae Wyatt as well. And so I'm not... No, I don't even care about the injuries at this point. I'm just focusing on...
What do you mean?
No, no.
You just use that as a reason why Matt's excellent
My focus is that this coach has created a winning culture here in Green Bay. This coach has had nothing but success here. Has he reached the pinnacle? No. But not a lot of teams win Super Bowl. That is a challenging thing to do, bro. And so at the end of the day, I would rather have Matt LaFleur as my coach than starting over in this moment in time. Now, if this team was fully healthy, right, and you know, you're going to have injuries, but you're not talking about losing Micah Parsons and Devontae Wyatt and Tucker Kraft. If you just lost two of the three, maybe Tucker and Devontae Wyatt, then I would still have high expectations for this team to win a Super Bowl this year. But at the end of the day, when you lose two studs and a guy that's a contributor like that, it's going to be tough to be able to win a championship. So with that information that I have, you should be bringing Matt LaFleur back, and you should be tempering your expectations for what you think this team's going to do in the playoffs. Matt LaFleur should not be fired because this team went 9-7-1 this year. Matt LaFleur should be praised for the fact that he was able to keep
this team together. You're doing. You're tempering expectations when you're not also looking at Matt LaFleur as an offensive mind with what was a top three MVP quarterback in the odds perspective heading into the Broncos game. Offensively, they haven't lost a ton. You're seeing other teams win with quarterbacks and offense, and that's what you should be expecting this team to do against the Bears. And you don't just go to Seattle and be like, oh, whatever. Like, you've given up, and it's sad to see.
Nah,
Brad, go ahead.
I will say that Matt LaFleur, outside of those early runs with Aaron Rodgers, haven't really gotten close to a championship. Not close. I mean, it's not like they went on one run and said, okay, we're at the NFC Championship game. Oh, we're in the Super Bowl. At least we're close. So if the expectations, like Evan was saying, is Super Bowl,
what are your expectations
every year?
He has
not gotten close.
Listen, my expectation coming into this season was a Super Bowl.
No,
but
every year.
My expectations in 2023 was not for the Packers to make the Super Bowl. That was Jordan Love's first year as a starting quarterback. That was not my expectations. Last year going into the season, I was hopeful that this team could find a way to go to a Super Bowl, but we found throughout the season, regardless of them winning 11 games, that they were not built to beat really good teams.
This year,
if the Packers were healthy, we would have those expectations, and that all plays into the calculus, as y'all would say, of what the result is on the field for the Packers.
You're protecting your heart, and I respect
it. I'm not protecting
my heart,
being
honest.
Other young
quarterbacks are having success. You got Drake May. I mean, Jalen Hurts is in the same draft class as Jordan Love. He's went on and been to two Super Bowls, won one. Brock Purdy is cooking. He's been to a Super Bowl. They're already, again, we're playing for the number one seed. So Bo Nix, the first-round bye for the
Broncos.
So, I don't know, I just look at it and think that they haven't won a division together. It got kind of close, but not really that close. You're talking about 7 seed every single year. It says to me that there's a level of pressure on this playoff game. So maybe I am coming around to Ben, or maybe there's more pressure on the Packers, because you can't go, 1-3 together in underwhelming defeats.
Your standard can't be Super Bowl when your roster isn't built to win a Super Bowl. That is what the Packers had in 2023. The roster was not built to win a Super Bowl. We found out in 2024 we did not have enough pieces to win a Super Bowl. So for us to put expectations onto a coach and a team that does not have
the
pieces to be able to win, I'm not moving the goalpost.
So
I'm going based
is
off what we saw.
Is Goody more the problem then?
I would say Goody is more the problem, because when you evaluate his first round picks that should be impact players for this team, they have not showed up for this team in a way that they need them to do that. And so, yes, Goody will be more of a problem than what we see with Matt LaFleur.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless talk and text line. Liz is more. Larry in Gary, Indiana, potential home to the team from the South. Let's go to you on the Carbless talk and text line with KBN.
All right, what's up, fellas?
Hey, hey. What's up, Larry?
All right, not much. I got to agree with Kyle with the Goody on how we draft things and how we basically, the roster is not built for winning a Super Bowl. We're always in the mix. We don't draft those top-notch guys. Like, is his name Josh Smith, the guy that went last to the Eagles, outside the defensive edge? We let him sit and go to the Eagles. I didn't understand that. And also, is it the culture of us, Green Bay? Because we keep doing the same thing every year. We never get over the hump. It's basically we just do enough just to be in the mix, like you guys say.
Well, Larry, appreciate the call. And this is where this playoff game and this potential playoff run, if you actually believe in your quarterback and coach, will be huge to show, again, just because they failed doesn't mean they're going to fail in the playoffs. With what Brad, I thought what you said was very important when Micah went down. You're going to find out about your culture and your coach and what they can do when injuries hit, because everyone has injuries, and now you're going to see what the team is made of. I don't think this conversation is over at all, because I see the reaction on the Carbless Talk and text line. YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison, 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and text line. You don't hate LaFleur, but you don't fully trust him either. What the hell does that actually equal? Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Hey, Gabe, also, did you call us idiots?
Yeah, it's exactly what I called us. Yeah.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Stay up to date on...
So I'm very fascinated by this dynamic of Matt LaFleur is excellent, but we're not getting Super Bowls, but he's good, but not great, but he's great, but not amazing. Like, there's so many varying opinions that it just got me to the conclusion of nobody, like, doesn't like Matt LaFleur, but you don't fully trust Matt LaFleur to win you a championship either. So where do you fit this all in an equation of, A, how are they going to perform in the playoffs? B, what's Ed Policy going to do with his contract? Is he going to make him play it out? Is he going to give him extension? We don't know. Like, and even with Ed Policy on Policy's perspective on Packers.com, we don't know the result of what happens against the Bears. And if they lose five straight games, like, it's pretty damning despite all the injuries looking around the league and how wide open this season has been. So I'm fascinated by the perspective of Packer fans right now of how they view and judge Matt LaFleur heading into the playoffs right now, because I believe that there's enough offensive talent for them to win the game against the Bears. Their defense is obviously a liability, but you've seen this team twice, which gives you an advantage to know what to expect. And then who's to say that Jordan Love can't outperform Sam Darnold? I know that defense is great, but that's what you're paying him to do in his third year starting in the NFL. So there's so many variables at play. 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and text line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison for your thoughts on this predicament or whatever it is.
My sense is Packer fans feel like Badger fans felt in 2022. You remember what we were saying as Badger fans? You know what? We always get 8 to 10 wins. We're never competing for championship. We're never at the top of the heap, but we're doing enough to stay relevant and to stay dangerous, you might say. But it doesn't feel like we're doing quite enough to push through the end. So this is where I feel like Packer fans are at an interesting fork in the road. Because you could do like what the Wisconsin Badgers did. You could say, bumps the old ways of doing things. Let's go take a swing for somebody else and shift things up. The problem is exactly what happened to the Wisconsin Badgers is what could happen to the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. You might try to think the grass is always greener on the other side, that we're sick of wild card playoff appearances. We're sick of just one, and we're not, you know, one playoff win and not going all the way to the Super Bowl. Let's shake things up. The problem is you might walk into a situation where you have a complete downfall. The grass was not greener. I think that is fear. So I think it's more fear-based that Packer fans, and what kind of I have a sense for the organization, is you don't want to mess up a good thing. It might not be an elite thing, but you don't want to mess up a good thing because
then rename Titletown, because that's not I'm what just, it, it's just a museum.
Listen, ain't
it's
nobody winning titles every single dang year. Titletown is based off the 13.
The Eagles have been to the Super Bowl
had.
2 times in the last 4 years. The Packers haven't been there since 2010.
Cool. Listen, everybody has a different level of fortune that they end up having throughout the season.
It's fortune.
But when you sit here, oh, you know what? Fire Dan Campbell. Why the team didn't make the playoffs? He's only made the playoffs twice as he's been a coach.
How long should you give Matt LaFleur to win a Super Bowl? Take out the run with Aaron Rodgers, right? Great run. How long should he have to be, even in a Super Bowl, with Jordan Love?
I'm giving Matt LaFleur a 3-year contract extension, and each year he's going to be reevaluated, because guess what? If the Packers suck next year, they get a 7 seed again, and they win 9 games again, and this team ends up staying healthy, he can get the axe. He can get fired. But I'm getting 3 years to evaluate Matt LaFleur. If after those three more years? Absolutely. 3 years.
Jordan Love's prime.
To evaluate Matt LaFleur. If Matt LaFleur... Say we make the playoffs next year as a 7 seed, then maybe he gets fired. But say we go to the NFC Championship and we lose. Are we going to fire a coach for going to the NFC Championship and falling short? No. And so we're going to give him 3 years, evaluate him after that. And after 3 years, the Packers still don't have a Super Bowl, then maybe it's best to move on. But sometimes you have to understand that what Brad was alluding to, the grass ain't always greener on the other side. The sustainability that he's been able to have with the Packers is fantastic. And again,
sustainability.
It's about, sustainability gives you an opportunity to be part of the game, be part of the opportunity to go to a playoff, to go to a Super Bowl. Every team doesn't have that. You're talking about how great Brock Purdy was and the 49ers were. Where were the 49ers last year around this time?
They struggled.
They sat at home, so that's what I'm saying.
But they went to a Super Bowl.
The point is, the Packers have been the same thing the last 3 years. If we just, as simply put, I know there's still more results to be had, but the way you're talking, Kyle, they're not going to do anything outside of expectations. So that would just be 7 seed, maybe 1 win, and on
so
we go.
So you're saying expectations shouldn't have changed? With the injuries that decimated this team, with the guys that got hurt, you don't believe, based off what we saw after Michael Parsons, that the expectations shouldn't have changed?
NFC Championship game would be noble with this team.
No, it'd be great.
It'd be great.
It shouldn't when you have Jordan Love, a $55 million quarterback. We're treating him with kid gloves right now is what we're doing. The offensive line, Josh Jacobs getting healthy. You have wide receivers that you believe in. You believe in so much that you won't even get time to Matthew Golden.
But this defense is bad.
Agree. That's fine. But don't you think that Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love should be able to win a couple games despite being together 3 years?
At least this one,
like,
for sure.
That's all I'm getting at. We don't need to move the goalposts so far that we're making excuses before the game even happened for Matt LaFleur. I just think it's fascinating where people are at here. We'll go to Jack in Milwaukee, 800-990-3776. You're on the Carbis Talk and Text Line. How do you, as a Packer fan, take in where they're at and where they're looking forward?
I would say for me, it's the fact that we need a defensive-minded coach. Look at all the great teams and think about the Patriots for 20 years. They had a defensive-minded coach. They won 7 Super Bowls. We've had offensive-minded coach for the last 3 or 4 coaches, and it obviously has only worked once. So something needs to change, and I feel, yes, getting rid of Matt Floyd would suck, but I feel like bringing in Jeff Hafley, because I feel like if we lose this game to the Bears, if we lose in the playoffs, Jeff Hafley will be gone, and I feel like signing him as head coach would be a very good idea.
Are you talking about the same Jeff Hafley? Wait a minute, the same Jeff Hafley that got ran over the Ravens?
We could do the same thing. Matt LaFleur was the 28th ranked offensive coordinator at Tennessee before he took this job.
That's a completely different.
Where's the guy on our team? No, it's not. He's an offensive-minded guy.
He's talking about firing Matt LaFleur.
But the overall point
Jeff
is, I'm fine with people. Their ideas might not be perfect or not, but at least someone's trying to provide a solution on what they feel is best, and because they don't agree with you, you go below the line and try and take out Jack for having a thought about trying what he thinks is best for the Green Bay Packers. When you can look around the league and say, look at your team in Jacksonville, look at the Chicago Bears, look at the New England Patriots, teams that had single-digit wins that were at the bottom of their division and turned it around. So the grass was greener, and if you look at the Packers with their foundation and you don't believe Matt LaFleur's a guy, I'm just playing scenarios
right
now.
Did you just give Tratt teams are picking the top 5 and the grass being greener?
What are you talking about? The Patriots suck. All I'm trying to say is, with teams without a foundation, we're able to turn it around in 1 year. If teams were able to do that with up-and-coming head coaches, imagine what a head coach could do if you really don't believe in Matt LaFleur, if you come into a situation with a franchise quarterback and an all-pro defensive end. That's my overall point I'm trying to make about the opportunity, if you do believe that Matt LaFleur is not the guy. Now, again, I will continue to reiterate more than Kyle that I believe that they can win 2 games in these playoffs, which he does not.
But you don't believe in a coach.
When did I say that? If anything, I have been more of a Matt LaFleur supporter than you.
Now that is false.
The last three weeks, I've had to turn into Matt LaFleur's defender because you think he stinks, and now you're on Goody this today.
I want to keep Matt LaFleur.
I know, that's today. Next week, the wind will blow, and you'll be like, ah, Matt, I'm done with you.
Only way I want to fire Matt LaFleur is the Packers lose 35-7.
See, there it is. Like, you won't stand on any business. You won't stand on any business.
What do you mean you get embarrassed? That's a whole other conversation. That's a disgrace.
Allen in Milwaukee. Allen, what's going on? What do you think?
Hey, how's it going, y'all? I'm out on defensive coaches because the league doesn't allow you to have good defenses multiple years in a row. So having a defensive-minded coach would be a horrible idea. But I thought losing four games in a row is a bad look. But I thought when the Bears beat the Packers that it actually saved LaFleur's job at that point before they lost four in a row. Because when you look at this division, it's too tight to tinker with anything, no matter what you want to do. The Lions were supposed to win this division, and if they weren't, trying to figure stuff out with coordinators, early in the season, they might have had a chance to put things together. And at the end of the year, around a look, I think the Vikings are only one win behind us, and they kind of were
half amount of wins, not wins,
half a win.
Thank you, Allen.
I think that's what's hard is that, like, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, this was the year to win the division, right? I mean, I can get these, the Lions being an absolute juggernaut the last two seasons. But this season, for Ben Johnson and the Bears to come in and win the division over Matt LaFleur and the Packers, it's crazy to me. That's why this weekend means so much, because he can right that wrong from having a sort of solid, mediocre regular season.
Yeah, well, it was mediocre, yeah.
Kick off the new year with a delicious deal now through the 7th of January. Through tomorrow, Metcalf's has Connie's Pizza for just $5.99. But don't forget about all the other delicious brands that Palermo's provides to you. Screamin' Sicilian, Urban Pie, Stranger Things Pizza. I know people are going crazy over season 5 ending. Well, they have a Stranger Things Pizza you can get at your local grocer's freezer. Don't forget about Cheez-It. But in the Brust household, we are Screamin' Sicilian fans. Thin and Crispy's, 2.5 feet of stuffed crust. I'm stuffed crust cheese pizza. The original Screamin's with the Boss Hog, Bester's Revenge, Supremus Maximus. They have it all for you in the local grocer, and they're all absolutely delicious. So find that screaming pleasure and taste what all the screaming is about with Palermo's. Resident Bears fan on 100.5 ESPN Madison, Jim Rutledge, can't keep our names out of his mouth.
If my name's going to come out of your mouth, then maybe have me on your show.
We'll hear what he thinks about us next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
Homer, Homer, Homer. This might be the dumbest thing that he has to have said in his career.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
So look, I said I was fascinated by the dynamic in which the Packers sit right now. And then I did my own version of reading, which is really just the Carbless Talk and Text Line on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. It's not like a book like Alex Stroph is doing right now. So funny, I know, haha. I think that deserved the ba-dum-ching. I think you played that. Never mind. Disregard.
Literally did that. Thanks for producing the show, Benny.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Stroph producing the show better than I could. 800-990-3776 is the aforementioned Carbless Talk and Text Line, as well as YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Now, before we get to Jim Rutledge talking about us, we're going to get back to this, but I just want to read four different thoughts that have come through the Carbless Talk and Text Line. It's no coincidence that Matt LaFleur has led this team to a 7 seed 3 years in a row. Judge accordingly based off the injuries on what happens with the playoffs. Coach isn't the problem. One unit every year is a crutch. Caveat there, the coach is in charge of all three units. If Love is the QB we think he is, he should drag them to an NFC championship game. So,
wow.
I read all these because there's so many differing opinions on what this team can and should do that is building up into I said it yesterday, the biggest game in the LaFleur Love tenure. And it's starting to feel that every second we get closer to Saturday. Now, someone who is sitting there happy because they've overachieved is Bears fan Jim Rutledge of 100.5 ESPN Madison. Go ahead, Stroph. What does Jimmy have to say?
Because that was directed specifically to one person.
Who?
Ben Brust and KBN, where they're like, we won all the whole game. And they're crying the whole time about, like, but we beat the Packers. That's all the show is today. But you didn't beat the Bears. I don't care you played better for most of the game. You know what you did? You lost. You know what I would have looked like? A punk if I had gone on air after the Bears got their extra point blocked, or excuse me, their field goal attempt blocked at Soldier Field last year. I didn't go out there and be like, the Bears were in position to win and should have won. No, the Bears lost, you lost. I don't care who played better. The only thing that matters is who won the game. So it's honestly the most pathetic and beneath Packer fans excuse I've ever seen in my life. So
that was Jim Rutledge on Jim, Matt, and Molly, 4-6, ESPN Madison. First and foremost.
The whole game, they're crying the whole time.
First and foremost, if we can access the show of Jim, Matt, and Molly after the Bears-Packers game in which the field goal is blocked, Strofe, there has got to be something that is absolutely the opposite of what he's trying to tell everyone. He's going to be on the air a year ago saying, yeah, but they put themselves in position to win. They're building something. I swear to God that will be in there, and I wasn't even listening. Number two, there's a bigger picture than wins and losses in the regular season. It is about using the data points from both Bears-Packers games to project and to figure out why one team or another would have an edge over the other in the playoffs.
It's a surface-level argument, just saying, oh, the Bears won. Well, you got to go a little bit deeper. For that game specifically, yes, the Bears won. At one point, the Packers, with about 2.5 minutes to go, 97% chance to win the game. It was statistically nearly impossible for them to pull off what they pulled off to actually win the game. But as an analyst, for what we're supposed to do is you're supposed to take that larger sample size and, as Ben said, project that into what is more likely to happen. So yeah, it does matter that the Packers played better than the Bears for 58 minutes for the bulk of the game. I would say they also played better than them for most of the first game that they played together. You take in all that data and you try to project it going forward. Just saying the Bears won is a surface level argument. You have to go deeper than that.
Scoreboard.
And you, if you're going to rely on that, if you're going to say, well, the Bears won that game, I would say, how did they win that game? And even Jim would say they won.
That's such a perfect cut.
Even Jim would say they won with some.
What would Jim say?
That's what translated, he would say, they won with some luck and some magic. That is not something you can rely on going forward. So, yes, if the Bears beat the Packers a second time, you would say, okay, that's a sample size that I could look at and say that is meaningful. But the fact that they outplayed the Packers for 2 minutes, yes, they got that win. But extrapolating that to this game, you can't possibly use that. I think of Brian Bulaga talking about that Packer team playing the Atlanta Falcons. What did Brian Bulaga say in 2010 when that team went and played the Falcons? They said, I can't wait for another crack at this team because we're better. We might have just lost, but we left so many opportunities on the table. When we face them again in the playoffs, we're going to beat them. That's exactly what happened. This Packer team is better than this Bears team. They've outplayed them for most of the time playing together. As an analyst, you extrapolate that to the future and you make your decisions that way. If I was a Bears fan, I would be pretty nervous saying that we used a bit of chaos and magic to win a game. They did steal a win. They did win the game. That gives me a little less confidence this weekend.
No fan cares how it happens. We just want to win. Well, if you just look at it that way, then you're never going to be able to look at your team realistically on what they're able to do beyond just a regular season game.
Well, and that's why I was so surprised and confused why these Bears fans were taking victory laps. If you would have just hammered the Packers, I'd say, take your victory lap. Take it, because you deserve it. But it was such a weird ending to take a victory lap in that fashion. If you celebrate that win, go ahead and celebrate that win. But it means very little in the upcoming game because you can't rely on a 3% chance of victory to be able to pull off the same magic going forward.
Yeah, just winning to win is important. That's the end result is all that truly matters to you. But that's only when you're moving past that game. You don't have to face that other team again. When you actually have to face a team for a third time, you need to look at the data and look at how the game flow went in order to determine, okay, what are our chances moving forward, right? And when you think about this, I think it is insane, right, to really ignore the flaws that your team showed in a game. That's really unwise for you to do. And when you look at the Packers versus the Bears, what they did, remember, that first Packers game, the Packers got up early against the Bears, and what did the Bears do in the second half? They were able to run the ball, control the clock, tie the game, but Jordan Love, because he's great, put the game away, and we ended with an interception, and the Packers won that game. Now, you would think, right, we thought going into that game, oh, the Bears might have a formula, right? They can run the football against the Packers. They'll be able to eat up the clock. They'll be able to control the clock a little bit and control the game, but they were not able to do that. They thought they found something, and when they tried doing it against the Packers in game number two at home against the Packers, guess what? They weren't able to successfully do that. Instead, their team scored 3 points through the first three quarters of the game, and yes, they won the game, but they don't have a true formula of success to beat the Packers, because everything that they have legitimately tried versus helter-skelter at the end of the game where they're just throwing it, hoping for the best, that is not a formula for four quarters. So if I'm a Bears fan, I would be extremely concerned about that.
Good way to put it.
I'd like to add in that Malik Willis played great, but if you are able to control the football the way that the Packers did in game two, you'd like to think that the quarterback that threw for three touchdowns, and they did score fast in that first game, which led to the opportunity of more ball control for the Bears offensively in the second half. It was the 2-3 and outs and the two quick scores, 2 minutes and 4 minute drives. Jordan Love, if that defense was able to do without Micah Parsons what they did to the Bears, you'd like to think that the quarterback of Jordan Love would be able to be more efficient in the red zone than Malik Willis was, because they left too many points on the table. So again, taking all of that in consideration with Jordan Love back, it's so facto, they got to play the game, but I'd feel better being on the Packers side of things right now.
So again, so I just think it's very irresponsible, very unwise for him to sit there and ignore the fact that yes, you won the game, but how you won is so important, because did you find anything that you are going to be able to replicate against the Packers again? I would say the answer is no. You can't sit here with confidence and say they found something, they found a way to beat the Packers, because at the end of the day, they did not find anything that was a successful formula other than, well, let's just heave it up there and hope for guys to have a broken coverage.
All right. Was I right?
The Bears played a heck of a game. I had a great time. Caleb looked good. The Bears played a heck of a game. I had a great time.
Thought he wasn't doing that after the field goal block. They played a heck of a game.
We won all the whole game.
Caleb played good. That's good.
Yeah, and that also is very, I mean,
that was after the field goal block from 20th.
Carl Brooks, fingertips.
Yeah. November 18th, 2024.
In the field goal block, your team was losing. You can miss a field goal and lose the game as well. It's very
you deserve good. A nice swig of water after digging that up.
That was good, Strofe. That was really good. That's
there's
fast.
Probably more to
there's
it.
There's probably
keep,
more.
If you
I'm
keep
sure.
listening, there's definitely going to be more to it.
The Bears played a heck of a game. I had a great time. Caleb
I had a great
good.
Time. I had a great time. The Bears lost, but I had a great time. That's loser talk.
I don't recall I ever saying great, I had a great time
dude,
watching the Packers.
Did you have a great time
bro, the
when the Packers lost
to
the Bears?
Game. I had a great time. Caleb looked good.
And they lost. I hit my hand on the ground, and I sat quietly.
You had to walk out.
I went to
excuse
baby girl.
Yourself.
I said, baby girl, I said, can we? She said, let's go.
Can we? That's how she knows you.
I said to the host, I said, thank you for the invite. We got in the car. She tried to turn on. She said, what do you want to listen to? Nothing. Nothing.
Hey, I had a great time. That is so good.
Oh man!
I had the Bears lost, but I had a great time.
But that's what we have to understand. When you're dealing with these Bears fans, that is the mentality that you're dealing with. They are just happy to be part of the party. They're just happy to say, "Oh well, we made it." I promise y'all, when the Packers win on Saturday, all Bears fans are going to say, "Well, we were ahead of schedule." I want Chicago Bears fans to know.
Look
at your
you're
schedule
so right.
for next year. Look at who you have to play for next season. You ain't ahead of no damn schedule. You have a tough schedule next year because you got the number one schedule coming out the NFC North next season. So you got a tough one, because I know they got to play the Patriots. I think they got to play the Eagles again. They got to play
the AFC.
AFC, they have to play the Patriots. I think they play the Jags.
Well, you
as
said
well.
Tough schedule out of NFC North. They're going to play their own NFC North.
No,
they
have
the number one.
Got it. They have a very difficult schedule going into next year. So
watch out for Duval.
So all I'm saying is this: is that as the Detroit Lions, 1 year you can be on top of the world, the next year you can be sitting at home during the playoffs. Well, something Matt LaFleur has not done since Jordan Love's been quarterback.
We'll continue this conversation because every conversation is coming back. Back to what the hell are people thinking about this Green Bay Packer team? And I'd say this is a better scenario to be able to dissect to a level that the Packers fans are dissecting the team right now, knowing that what the standard should be is where people want to be. And you can either choose to settle or you can choose to try and find ways to make it better, with the idea knowing that you have an opportunity to win playoff games still with Jordan Love coming back. So there's a lot of noise that still can be made. The Badgers are making plenty of noise, but will it lead to wins? Bradley Nortman, the former Badger punter, has a strong take on the transfer portal. Hey, hey! Next.
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman, KBN.
Call me daddy.
That just sounds...
It's just, yeah.
Like...
Call me cut daddy.
Mike. On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You want to go to the phone lines, Strophy? Let's do that. Let's go to the Carbless Talk and Text line on Kyle Brust and Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. 800-990-3776. Who should we start with? Go to Ryan in Madison. Ryan, you're up on KBN.
What's up, fellas? How you doing today?
Hey, hey.
Doing good.
What up?
Good. You know, I'm the Bears fan, and you guys like to taunt me and whatnot. This is a new year, so I'm going to try to be a better person. Caleb Williams needs a lot of work. The Chicago Bears are like a Cinderella team, and, you know, at some point, the run has to come to an end. I don't know if it'll be this week or what. History says that you guys are probably going to win this one. I don't have the most confidence in a big game, in a playoff game for the Bears. I mean, I don't even know if I can watch this game. I'm getting anxious just thinking about it. I just want a really good game. And, you know, it'd be a lot better if the Packers had all their players. I would feel better about that because then the Bears won, I could actually brag about it. But if the Bears win,
smart man,
you know, it's like, what, we beat a team that's like broken down, like, great, you know.
Wow. Either way, wow.
Ryan, new year, new you. Who are you? My goodness, that is incredible,
Ryan. You keep talking like that, I'm never going to be able to hook you again.
I know. I actually was hoping he was going to try and do the new year, new me pivot strophe dumpster.
No logic. That was new year, new logic. I like that. And I say, listen, that was good. That made sense.
That was good.
It made sense.
Carbless talking text line. Are you sure that's a Bears fan? That was a normal take.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get some pretty wise Bears fans.
Not everybody. Not there's everybody, a wide range here.
We haven't said anything too spicy to the Bears fans for them to be all mad and calling in and being crazy.
If you're a Bears fan, I don't know how you can feel good about how the first two games went. And they won six games coming back in the fourth quarter. They've got multiple one-score victories.
It's just the scoreboard, man.
It's as simple as that. Just the lazy argument. Yeah, we won. Okay,
who cares if we were 2-4 in division? It doesn't matter. So, we won 11 games. We won an NFC North.
So what you're telling me right now.
We're NFC North champions.
What you're telling me right now is resident Bears fan Jim Rutledge speaks for the fans with simplistic arguments of just look at the scoreboard.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
That's all we got.
Can you believe?
No depth.
That's all it means for this upcoming game.
A team was literally.
If my name's going to come out of your mouth, then maybe have me on your show.
Jim, your team was an overtime win and a miracle away from being 0-6 in a field goal comeback win against the Vikings for being 0-6 in the division, the NFC North division. That is awful. I'm telling you that they're.
I forgot about that.
They're illegitimate. They are an illegitimate NFC North champion. Illegitimate. 2-4.
Wow, what a way to put it.
No, for real though. When you think about it, they literally have less wins than the. They had the least amount of wins in the NFC North. The Vikings went 3-3. The Packers went 3-3. And the Lions, I believe, went 3-3.
Yeah, they beat the Bears twice and
the Lions once. They didn't beat the Packers.
I thought you were talking about the Lions.
Yeah, the Lions. Vikings. The Lions went 3-3 in a division.
He says the Lions once. Vikings?
Sure, Vikings.
Either way, yes. It all
they had the worst record in the damn division.
It's very hard.
That's crazy.
It's very
hard to do and still end up the 2-seed.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
To think you're legitimate? Bro, what?
Strophe, I'd like for you to introduce to the audience how you are going. This is a new year with Strophe running the show. Doing Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? And he has put together a masterpiece of back-end technology to help Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust be better than ever.
Yeah, we're going to have stats now, fellas. We probably
nerd, man.
Yeah. Strokes reading. We got stats.
We won't for a few weeks because
nerd
we obviously need more than one match of Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust to start calculating the average points Ben scores per week, the average points a fan scores per week. I'm going to try to keep track of all of the fan statistics as well. that might not work, but I'm certainly going to try.
You can do that.
I'm going to try.
Just as soon as it's over, type it into the
I will. So it's a new year of Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? Ben's record in 2026 has officially been reset. 0, 0, and 0.
Can I have a quick nerd man before we go to the Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust?
Nerd man.
To put a bow on this losing record in the division, if we're going to, which I don't
I got the numbers wrong, by the way. 2-4 Lions, 2-4 Bears, 3-3 Vikings, 4-2 Packers.
This year you're talking about?
Yeah.
I went deep into the stats as much as nerd man possibly could. And the last time, this is how rare it is to win your division and have a losing record within your division. Last time it happened, 2010, the Chiefs winning the AFC West. It hasn't happened in 16 years.
I bet you did.
It's an extremely rare situation.
I bet that was a weak AFC West that year,
probably
too.
Probably was.
800-990-3776 to play Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust, brought to you by Lakeland University. Let's go with caller number 12, 800-990-3776. You get to choose the question asker, Kyle or Brad. They will give you 15 questions in 90 seconds. You can try and get through them all. If you don't, if you skip or pass and then get through them all, you can go back to the ones you skipped. Winner will win an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack, and the pride of hopefully losing to me or winning against me is the record is 0, 0, and 0. 800-990-3776. Caller 12 for Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust in 2 minutes, then Mark Tauscher after that. Next.